Step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it's a Tuesday and a new day is dawning in the world of Houston professional sports. Your Astros, for the first time ever, are in the American League Championship Series. I got you on a technicality. See what I did there? And your Houston Rockets have a new owner, someone you know and love, who has vowed that he is going to keep the franchise in the family name in Houston, and that is a good thing. We are the Usual Suspects, and we are here as we usually are, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN 97.5. Tyler Scott, once again, filling in for our man Nick, who is out taking care of some business, but we love him and we're thinking about him. Barry is here, and of course, yours truly, as we continue to bring you the best in sports and entertainment. Not a bad night to be an Astros fan. You and I stuck around after the show to watch the end of it.
But
The locker room celebrations are always fun, although they get a little out of hand.
I don't need to see anyone in their draws.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm good with that. I'm all right if we just want to... You want to go shirtless? All right. I get it. But just the draws? No. I don't need that. Need that in my life.
Josh Reddick has set the standard that I guess evidently based on evidence we saw from Lamont on Twitter, he's done this with the A's too with different designs, but this is his thing, mm-hmm. and he expects to continue to do it as long as the Astros continue to do it. But yeah, it could get a little messy.
Yeah. We were watching some videos before and watching the celebrations last night as well, and that beer must be super cold. Like, it must be just above freezing, because when you can see a lot of times those guys, like, even watching like Julia Morales when she was in there and they would pour it on her, how she would just lose her breath, it was so cold.
Yeah,
that would be fun, but that would suck at the same time, man, because I wouldn't want to be in my underwear and then have someone pour really, really cold beer on me.
Any cold beverage.
And then it just be like...
Yeah,
And then now you're like, damn it. Now, you know what I mean?
Scared turtle.
Yeah.
I'd regret wearing a Speedo at that point.
I would immediately... Because everything's going in. You know what I mean? Not just, you know, it's going to be him and the boys. Everybody's...
No doubt.
Hey, we'll be inside if you need us. No.
And the other thing is the champagne and stuff in your eyes is no joke, and no matter what goggles the guys wear,
it's still happening.
It can get in there, and man, that is an awful feeling.
It makes no sense why they wear ski goggles, because those all have vents,
right,
to let out hot air whenever you're skiing,
so they don't fog
up.
You
need like legitimate swim goggles,
right,
if you're gonna keep stuff out.
Michael
of your
Phelps
eyes.
Style,
yeah.
Well, then you would really look like an Olympic swimmer if you're Josh Reddick. You'd be in your Speedos with your goggles and your chamois and your
swim cap.
Yeah, your cap to protect your locks.
Get some of those Kareem goggles that he used to wear back in the day, only just put like a rubber liner around them so that it kind of keeps more of the liquid out. Because you're not going to do the Rambus Rex specs, but the Kareem goggles were...
Those were airtight?
At least you could see, too. But yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Tyler. I'm like, they all wear the... And I'm sure Oakley and all these guys are getting run out of it marketing-wise for selling.
Oh, yeah.
But...
Didn't that kind of start with, what's his name, Rasmus? He was one of the first to throw those goggles on, wasn't he?
I think.
No, I mean, I've seen him always wear goggles like that.
But it started a few years ago.
I think Big Poppy started it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think Big Poppy started it. And all of a sudden, the next year, it wasn't just one guy. It was like the entire roster.
Team, yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't pay attention when Big Poppy was celebrating. I don't care about any of that. So
Salisbury, I'll take you.
Hey, I looked across the desk and I see this coffee mug.
Yeah.
And it's Glenn Davis Soccer Matters coffee mug. How come there's no Usual Suspects coffee mug?
It's an excellent question.
I would love to.
It's a question that needs to be addressed sooner rather than later.
I think we need that, or like, you know, beer steins or something.
You could just have an extra large coffee mug.
What, I don't,
like, instead of that size, there's like another one.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
12 or 16,
like
ounces.
A Yeti,
right?
Style.
Because isn't part of that movie at one point he got one of the names from a coffee mug or something like that, or from an importer or whatever? I don't know. Maybe I'm making it. Yeah, the movie.
He did. Okay. It was on the bottom of the mug.
There you go. See?
Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Usual Suspects.
Are we still doing that?
Oh, we're still doing spoiler alerts. Okay. But did you guys, I was interested in your opinion. Yay or nay when the Indians lost last night, too. Like, that's a big plus because now they're going to burn Corey Kluber in game five.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, hey, just an extra added bonus there on top of it when the Yankees busted out early and kept putting runs on the board. I was like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah, I do like that. I mean, it certainly does allow you to set up it gives the Astros a slight advantage. Now, obviously, you're still going to have to face their rotation if it's the Indians. And I kind of feel like it will be. I don't know. I mean, we can get into that. But
yeah.
I just feel like in that game five, I don't know. Do you trust CeCe Sabathia in that position?
I don't either. I used to a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he did pitch well the first time out for the first couple innings. But, yeah, just over the course of a nine-inning game, I don't expect him to go deep, and I don't expect him to be dominant.
Yeah, and either way, you know you're not going to have to, whoever it is, whether it's the Yankees or the Indians, you're not going to have to face those guys, at least in game one.
Right.
So that it shapes up a little bit better for the Astros. But so I know we got a ton of stuff, and we're going to get to it all, but one non-sports thing I wanted to get out of the way. Did you watch the football game last night at all?
I did not.
Okay, so you kind of, like me, I mean, when it was 2-0 and 3-2, and I was like, okay, the Yankees and the Indians are outscoring the Vikings and the Bears. I'm out. I don't want to watch this football game anymore. I happened to jump back at halftime to see the trailer for the new Star Wars, The Last Jedi movie.
Okay.
I almost teared up, yeah.
Did you happen to see it, Joel?
I did not.
Now, you're not a big Star Wars guy.
I am not.
Now, Tyler, are you a Star Wars guy?
Yeah.
Me too, and I'm not like geeky. Like I couldn't tell you like all of the character names and who's who, and you know. I mean,
I know
like what was it
all the major?
But don't you call it your lightsaber?
No. Like I don't even remember the chick's name. I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch the last one before I watch this one. The chick that's gonna be the last Jedi or whatever.
Oh,
the one that met Luke on the mountain right when the last movie ended. Oh, spoiler alert.
I know her name in real life.
It's Aiden. See, whatever. I don't know her. I don't know her real name. I don't know her character's name. I don't remember what the black guy's name is in that movie. The only black guy I remember.
His name is Finn.
Landau Calrissian.
Yeah, Landau Calrissian. That's it. Who knows, right? I can't. I'm not that nerdy, but I grew up on Star Wars, and so I was impressed. And I didn't think I would be because I'm usually not that kind of guy. This is probably one of those ones where I'll go and watch it in the theater when it comes out. And that's not my deal. I never do that. But
I've seen people like already
buying tickets.
I was pretty
pumped about it. Really?
Tickets are like already being released.
Well, that's just stupid. If you are listening and you bought tickets, you're an idiot. And you can send all your hate to Joel on Twitter at PacManJoel because
Hashtag it thanks Joel. That always helps.
That's right. But yeah, why are you buying tickets for a movie in December? It's October.
Is this the one that Opie's doing?
God,
that Ron Howard has taken over from Spielberg?
Is it?
Is this the one?
No, I don't know.
I thought Ron Howard got involved now and has taken over production or something.
The Fonz shows up. Hey, use the Force. That's what I used in Happy Days. Oh, and he's like bumping the
Dice Clay comes involved in it too.
But no, didn't he do that too? Be like, hey, oh, and then he would bump.
Oh yeah, he does.
Ron Howard's doing the
hell was that
Han
thing
Solo,
called?
Oh, Ron Star Howard's Wars doing Han Solo. Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
the Solo song.
I couldn't think of the word.
Solo
jukebox.
Han Solo Star Wars film.
A solo,
like the
Han
origin
solo.
Story of Han Solo.
Oh,
so like it's not like sorry, not sorry. It's like solo, not so, or yes, solo.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Just let him. He'll punch himself out.
let it run its course.
Yeah. So there's a Han Solo movie? See, I didn't even know
that.
That's
what I'm saying. That's the one Ron Howard's
doing. I didn't even know that. You knew that. You're not even a Star Wars guy.
It's coming out, I think, 2018.
Okay.
May 25th, 2018. I can't remember who's playing Han Solo, but Donald Glover is going to play Lando Calrissian.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He's going to play young Lando.
Right. Okay. See, I dig that. I mean, I'm cool with this because I will admit that the first six, some of it kind of gets old. So that's why I'm a little bit nervous about this one, because I'm worried it's going to be very formulaic. But what they showed, like, a lot of it was pretty intense, and it looks like there might be some pretty good twists and turns. And
you watched Game of Thrones, right?
Yep.
So you know that the stormtrooper who's, like, wearing all gold?
Yeah. What was
that's,
that?
That's Brienne.
Oh, is it?
It's played by Brienne from Game of Thrones. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Look at that. Joel's like, whatever.
I'm so enthralled. Can we talk like, MMA next segment? I might have the day off today.
All right. My bad. I didn't mean to bring it up.
No, hey, you got to get these kind of things out there.
But I was fascinated by the trailer. I thought, I really want to see this movie. Not enough to go buy tickets now like a weirdo, but I do want to see it. It was pretty good. We should make it a date, Joel, you and me. I'll do the old popcorn trick.
Tyler, you can sit between us. As long as we get the unlimited refill popcorn, I'll be able to stomach it in more ways than one.
Barry's popcorn trick is bringing in his own popcorn from outside so he doesn't have to pay.
And it never tastes as good. You can't do that.
I'm just like, no, small will do.
Yeah.
That's just, do you have an extra small?
Can I just get a water cup?
Yeah, do you have an extra small? Can you just put like a kernel in his thimble? We'll be good.
Hey, by the way, because we're going to get to a lot today, and if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter, at Producer T. Scott, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Just so you know, because we'll have plenty to talk about, including the new ownership of Tillman Fertitta taking over the Rockets today, as media was checking into the building, there is a huge sign that says, you are being filmed. Please be advised that Lock and Key Productions is filming scenes and background materials in this area related to production of Tillman's show Billionaire Buyer. If you are in this area, you may appear and you agree to appear. Otherwise, do not appear. Do not enter. Wow. They're media members. You can't do that.
Well, they did.
I will say this, huge upgrade because of all the, Les used to be married to the head of PETA or one of the founders of PETA.
Yeah.
The food was really bad. Landry's put out quite the spread for the media today. Jonathan Fagan, I've heard, still may be there.
I was going to say, there's probably steak aplenty.
Yeah. I don't know if it's steak, but I guarantee you, if it's free, I know there's plenty that are be taking three. All right, so we're going to have a very busy show today. If you want to join us, I've told you how to reach us. We've got plenty more to get to and a full agenda, but again, we always welcome you, the usual suspects, into the show. Back with a whole lot more in just mere minutes. The usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Cat by the bar, toasting to the good life. Moved out the hood, now you trying to pull me back, right?
ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go!
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
This ball is ripped to left field. Will it stay fair? Back it goes. Back, gone. Way up and gone. And we have a tie game.
We signed three veteran guys this offseason, McCann, Redick, and Beltran, and they've instilled a work ethic, a confidence in this team, and I was 0-for-10 going to that at-bat, and Alex Cora and a few of the guys said, hey, just one good swing, that's it.
God, you got to love that, including the music, well done by Tyler.
Nice.
Alex Bregman's home run call, and then Alex Bregman talking about his struggles with Chris Sale and then finding a way to break through in a big way, because that was a huge bomb. No one loved it more than Verlander for obvious reasons. But as we kept one eye pinned to the screen all day in here yesterday, boy, it went from sadness to euphoria in a short period of time. When Bregman hit the home run, and then two, when they got the insurance that it turns out they needed and got the victory. But whew, good times if you're an Astros fan.
What you munching on over there? You can tell you're...
See, that's what I don't want. I'm not trying to smack it. Lisa gave me a protein bar because I didn't eat lunch.
It's delicious,
she's like,
huh?
She's like, try one of these new protein bars. And, you know, she's doing all this soy milk and all this, you know, all that real super healthy. And then realize that there's some stuff in there that's going to, like, be living in between my teeth until I get home to brush. I'm like, man.
Now, do you eat those a lot or not?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. Yeah. But because I knew I was going to be short on time with it, I was like, well, I might as well take something that's quote-unquote healthy. But good Lord.
Did you see, I can't remember if it was on Twitter, if it was somebody that we know that tweeted it out, okay. but they are advertising Clif Bar for kids, but they're basically trying to push people to hand those out instead of Halloween.
Yes,
candy.
I did. I think Raheel might have tweeted it out.
Yeah,
that, you know, like, God help us all if we start handing out healthy snacks to kids for trick or treat, which is just sacrilegious.
Right.
I mean, but yeah, I guarantee you some people are going to start doing that too.
I would be so pissed.
That's like when you were a kid and someone tried to throw an apple in your bag. I was going to throw it back at them.
There were people that would put apples. There were people that would put a toothbrush.
I would rather take
a toothbrush.
Yeah.
I would rather take those bunk little, like, Mary Jane candies, like the super off-brand Mary Jane candies over a healthy snack.
I'd rather have pennies.
I would rather take...
Give me pennies.
Actual drug-laced candy instead
of
that.
I'd rather get a razor blade.
Yeah.
Don't put no damn healthy snack.
My grandma, I think my grandma was one of those that used to do the penny thing, and it's like, no, that's not a good idea. It's not a good look.
Then you get some dirty-ass money all mixed in with your candy.
Yeah, that's almost as bad as the catcher from Sandlot guy that would go to where the people would just put the big bucket on the stairs and say, help yourself.
Yeah.
And he felt that meant, like, take a grocery bag and dump half of the treats in his bag. Like, no, you fat ass. You only get two. Now move on. You don't need that. You need a treadmill. I don't care what age you are. You need the Clif Bar.
What did they hand out in Wisconsin?
I mean, for the most part, I'll tell you what was the cool thing was there was a hamburger place, and I don't think they had them all over, but maybe they did, George Webb. But George Webb did a deal where if the Brewers ever won, I want to say it was like 15 in a row or 13 in a row, you got all the hamburgers and fries you could eat sitting there.
Really?
Yeah, and then... One year they decided to do it because they didn't do it during the regular season. They're like, okay, well, on Halloween, then we're going to do, instead of candy, we're going to do burgers and fries. Man, we knew what time trick-or-treating was, and we made sure with at least an hour to go, we were going to George Webb's because we were getting a seat at the booth or a booth, and we were going to eat. And we were going to town. That was good stuff.
Yeah. I think we've done this before where we talked about favorite candy.
Yes, we did that.
But I feel like if you don't have some candy for people, you shouldn't turn your porch light on.
That's like, a great point. That's a really great point because a lot of people look for that.
Yeah, and so like don't like if you're like, well, let's just give out like granola bars. Just, you know what? Just turn that light off. Don't even worry about it, player. Don't even...
just understand.
You don't have to do anything for the kids because you're really going to piss all the kids off at that point.
Yeah.
Have you also seen this thing where they have teal pumpkins and those mean that it's a household that has a candy allergy?
What?
Oh, stop.
So, like, you are giving out candy that potentially doesn't have peanuts or gluten.
I don't want to live in this America
anymore.
Why don't
you just keep that in your cabinet for your kids that have the allergy, but don't spoil the fun for everyone else.
Let them go get candy, but then just replace it all.
I mean, like, what is teal pumpkin? So when your kid shows up with a... So you're sending your kid out with a teal pumpkin to get candy?
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. Oh, I thought the house had a teal pumpkin in front.
No, it works both ways. You have the little bucket or... You have like a pumpkin signifying that your house is giving out.
My God,
allergen-free
Seriously?
Candy.
This is the worst. I don't understand this, and I don't want to. Oh my God, I'm going to sound like such an old man by saying this. But dude, when we were a kid, there was none of this. We didn't have like you didn't have to worry about what is it, gluten-free. You didn't have to worry about candy allergies. Like if there was some kid in your class that had a peanut allergy, guess who didn't go trick-or-treating? That kid. Everyone else did, and
right.
That kid didn't get to go. And if he did, his parents picked through his food or his candy before he got to eat it. So they were like, yeah, here's your plain ass Hershey's bar, here's your Starburst, and that's the stuff of Skittles and all that, and Jolly Ranchers, but yeah, you can't eat the rest of the good stuff. Sorry.
You ate razor blades and you liked it.
Yeah, and back in my day, Oh my God, I sound so old.
But here's the thing. Okay,
but like, really? That's one, teal pumpkins? I would slap the pumpkin. Just get out of here.
I mean, obviously, we used to do, when we were kids, we used to go do
totally
the whole
wouldn't do that,
kick
but that
the
would
pumpkins
be funny.
In. But that'd be the first pumpkin you kick.
Yeah.
Go kick the teal pumpkin.
Wouldn't that be funny if like this kid shows up? He's like, ding dong. You open the door, trick or treat. You see the teal pumpkin. You just shut the door. Yeah. Go somewhere else. Go somewhere else, weirdo kid.
That's a bit excessive. It's like, even at my daughter's school, if she brings peanut butter and jelly, we get a call that says we are a non-peanut school. I'm like, but the school's not eating the sandwich. She is. Well, kids could come in contact with it, so we are going to tell you that this is your warning. I'm like, what are you going to do to me? Ban me from having her? Fine, then make her lunch. That'd be great. But truth be told, I'm not a big candy freak. So like my sister, who was way older than me, she would not go, but she couldn't wait for me to get back because we had pretty planned out that we were going to hit some serious neighborhoods where we knew we were going to get some good stuff.
Well, you were a chubby kid. You liked
no
the
doubt.
Candy.
I mean, I can't say what I had, but I had more chins than a phone yeah. book in certain yeah. countries other than ours. But I can tell you this. I'd get home, and my sister would just be salivating, like, drop that bag right here. Because the chocolate and all that stuff was not my thing. Like, I liked Twizzlers and certain and you know some of those things. But for the most part, she went to town. There was obvious that she needed those workout things that you attach to the doorknob handle and stuff like that back in the day. Because she was, and here's the other thing. I saw another thing where certain communities around Houston now are setting age limits for trick-or-treaters. Because they've had too many late teens, early 20s.
I just won't give them anything. We've had you know, 16, 17-year-old kids show up at the door, and I'm like, hey, player, you're too old to be getting candy, man. Y'all going and, you know, I don't know what to tell you, but I'm not giving you no candy. I'll give these little kids your candy. You're too old for this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where you're at that. I'll give them one. I don't,
no.
You know. I get it, but at a certain age, aren't you just basically going, no, I'm basically, I should get a neon sign that says loser with an arrow pointing down to the top of my temple, because it's like, what are you doing trick-or-treating at 20?
Yeah.
Just go to the corner store.
I might do that this year just to prank people, like put like a GoPro and then dress up like really weird and just go, just be like, or just show up just like your normal clothes.
I know,
like,
this surprises you, but my one costume from a few years ago would have been ideal for the people that screw you over. It was a perfectly, like a full old man mask.
Uh-huh.
And it looked real. And I had like an old fedora, and then I had a trench coat. And if anybody got smart, when I opened the trench coat, it was full flasher mode. And there was like this, you pulled them up like pants.
Yeah.
But it was
a dong
like,
in there.
Yeah, it was like a tripod. And I was like, okay, you're going to do that to me. We'll take this.
Yeah.
And then walk away.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dude, Matt Hibbert tweeted something that's hilarious.
Yes. Yep.
Fun Halloween prank. Dip Brussels sprouts in chocolate. That is so good.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God. That would be hilarious.
And it would work for the people with allergies and teal pumpkins.
Oh, yeah. Put them in there. Yeah.
Chan had a good one. Here you go, kid. Popcorn ball. We had those popcorn balls that people would hand out.
Oh.
Cheap-ass people making their own popcorn balls in that red cellophane. And then El Jefe said, I was expecting Joel to answer Tyler's question by saying they throw a handful of cheese in our bag in Wisconsin. No. Okay.
I actually was going to make a cheese curd joke, but you kind of went there yourself.
In our neighborhood, they didn't care. They threw a six-pack of Miller. How about that? Does that work better for you?
Nice.
Jeez. All right, the show continues to roll on. Plenty more to get to. Just kind of popping the top on what should be a full, shall we say, 44-ounce battle of fun as we get into the show. But we go till 4. It's Barry, it's Tyler, it's Joel, and we'll be back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Maben leads at second. Springer leads at first. 3-3. Two out.
payoff pitch, Josh Reddick. Here it comes. And through the hole between short and third, Maven will score easily. The throw to third, Springer dives in safe. The Astros have come back to take the lead 4-3.
If that doesn't give you a little chicken skin, then I don't know if you're an Astros fan. The only drawback was we almost heard, back through the hole between third and short. Chris Berman doing the call for ESPN's radio broadcast. But that was the big hit by Josh Reddick. And we continue to see, developing before our eyes, these guys stepping up big in the playoffs. And you have even delved deeper in to bring up some of the best. Before we get to that, we're working on getting the post-game sound from one Josh Reddick after that hit, but I assure you it has nothing to do with a flagpole attached to or being hidden by his American flag shorts. But you were able to dig deep enough to find, because I don't know, depending on how long you've been in Houston, you and I are talking about during the break, you may not remember that for as good as Bagwell and Biggio were in the regular season, they were different in the playoffs.
Yeah, those were guys, and the Astros as a team from, you know, the late 90s through mid 2000s, they weren't known to be all that clutch in the playoffs. In fact, and I wanted to see this because I looked up postseason stats for this year, and I just wanted to see what this team did as a whole. And so you had Altuve leading the way. Obviously, he hit .533, three home runs, four RBIs, ended up slugging .1765. Slugging. That's ridiculous.
That's through the roof.
I'm sorry. Slugged .113. OPS was .1765. My bad. But still, OPS of 1.765 is just stupid. So I wanted to see, all right, that's him. And I mean, Gurriel hit .529. Springer hit .474. I wanted to see how these guys compared. So I basically sorted by home runs. The only guys to get home runs in this series was, I say only, Altuve had three, Bregman had two, Correa had two, Springer had one. So you're basically your core future, your superstars, all homered at least once. In the case of Springer, but Correa, Bregman, and Altuve at least twice. Compare that to Jeff Bagwell and Craig Biggio. And again, I love these guys. I'm super glad they're in the Hall of Fame. But in their postseason career, they each had two home runs. So what that means is, in one division series, in one year, Correa, Altuve, Bregman, and Altuve have all either equaled or surpassed Bagwell and Biggio's home run career totals for their career.
Man.
It's kind of a new breed in Houston. You know what I mean? Like, we're used to not seeing clutch play in the playoffs from our baseball team, and that's kind of changing now. I mean, you hit over .500 in a series, and that's pretty damn good. And Altuve wasn't the only guy to hit over .500. Gurriel hit .529. Springer did well at .412. I mean, up and down this lineup, this team, they hit well. And I think a lot of people thought they were going to really struggle against a guy like Sale, and that just wasn't the case. And they got into that bullpen, and other than the one game, they did well. So, yeah, man, this team proving to be clutch already as compared to the stars of Bagwell and Biggio.
I was thinking about it last night, too. The one thing that everybody tries to, you know, talk about is injuries. And if you can avoid injuries, you're set for the playoffs. But the other thing that people don't factor in is if you have to burn pitchers. I mean, obviously the big talk yesterday was Verlander. Do you use them? Do you not? I heard John and Rahil this morning, and they were adamant that you just had to use them, and it was the right thing to do. And I just completely disagree with that because, like I said to you yesterday, I feel like you're in panic mode instead of feeling like you're still in a position of control, having Game 5 in your building with your best pitcher on the hill. Not that it didn't work out for them, but I think there was a lot of us that thought, oh, God, you know, this could really be a disaster.
Yeah.
So it worked out. But from an Indians perspective now, it looked like they were going to just steamroll. They got the wild card team. They were, you know, they got the favorable matchup. They won the first two games as well. I know there was all this talk when the Astros won the first two and then lost game three about, oh, God, what if you're going to be one of the random 18% that won for, you know, the first two games and then turn around and lost the series? Well, now all of that is squarely in the Indians' face, and because of it, you're going to use Corey Kluber in Game 5. Trevor Bauer wasn't very good in Game 4. So say the Indians still get through. They also burned a lot of their pen yesterday. So I know game one is Friday, but at least I would say advantage Astros if it is against the Indians, simply because they're burning their ace and they've put a lot of innings on a lot of guys leading up to Friday.
Yeah, so you're probably going to get Carrasco in game one.
Thank you.
Which Carrasco, out of the three, I really thought if they weren't going to go with Kluber to start the Yankee series, I would have pitched Carrasco in game one, but they went with Bauer and he pitched his ass off and it proved to be a shrewd move. But Carrasco is really good. I mean, you talk about when we talk about Keuchel being...
he finished the season, he finished it strong.
You know, when we talk about Keuchel being the number two guy on this team but pitching like an ace, that's kind of how Carrasco is as well. So they don't lose a ton by trotting Carrasco out there in game one, but at least you're not having to face Kluber right away. You know what I mean? So Kluber's going today, or excuse me, tomorrow. So he's definitely not pitching game two, which would occur on the 14th. So they're going to have to wait until the 16th to get Kluber in the game, unless they're going to pitch him on short rest, which at this point, I don't think they would.
Didn't Carrasco, how did he pitch in the first game of the Yankee series or his first?
I got to go back and look.
That was game three, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might have been.
And the Yankees won that game, but it was a tight game. So,
yeah, so you get Carrasco, and then you'll probably get Bauer, and then Kluber will pitch game three. But that's okay. I mean, when you look at how the rest of that series shakes out, like schedule-wise, you've got where to go here? Friday, game one, and then Saturday, game two, and then game three is on the 16th. Game four is on the 17th, and then, game five is on the 18th.
Okay.
So, it doesn't work out for them. I think you might see they're going to have to pitch somebody on short rest if they're going to try to squeeze them to the front. Yeah. So, it does work out for you well. And the Astros, of course, it shapes up just fine for them because you're still going to get Verlander and Keuchel in games one and two. But I'm with you. I disagreed on the move yesterday.
Yeah.
I do think you could have pitched him after the delay, but when the delay didn't occur, I really don't think there was a reason to trot Verlander out there. That could have been disastrous. We were talking about it. It was one of those blows where I felt sick to my stomach. I really did.
I did too. I was with you. And God forbid that the rain was like torrential and they tried to postpone it a day.
Yeah.
Because now you're actually screwing yourself more. Because you figure he's burnt out, and you're extending this series regardless.
I'm really glad there wasn't an actual delay in that game.
Yeah.
Though. I feel like if there was, then it probably would have taken out whatever steam that the Astros had left, and you can argue that they probably don't win that game if there is any kind of extended delay.
I'm with you. Everything went as well as you could have expected after that death blow, because I really felt like that was it.
I did. I felt like that queasy feeling, like instead of being in charge the entire series, they were going to be really squirmy coming up for game five in panic mode, which is not good. And look, I will say,
who would have thought of all people it would have been Bregman to be the one to do
0-10 career against Sale, so that was great. But at the same time, too, the one point that Raheel made was interesting, though. If he didn't go to Verlander there and say he went to Will Harris and then Will Harris gave up the home run, there might have been more controversy
then
there.
Then he probably burns up another pitcher or two after he takes Harris out if he gives up that home run.
But then you know everybody's hammering him like, why didn't you just go to Verlander?
No, I disagree.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't have blinked at that. Nope.
I'm with you, but that was the discussion this morning. I was interested to hear all that because I totally could not disagree more with those two guys that I would have never burned Verlander yesterday, but thank God it worked out.
Yep.
All right, we got plenty more to get to on the big show. We've got a new owner in town. Well, he's from here, but Tillman Fertitta officially takes the reins of the Houston Rockets. We've got plenty more to talk about with still baseball playoffs going on. We got new power rankings in the NFL and a whole lot more on the agenda. If there's something you want to get to, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, hit us up on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
1, 2, get down. Paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey now! Back with more of the big show. Still in hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza we like to call The Usual Suspects. James Brown talking about the boss. The new boss in town is none other than Tillman Fertitta. We'll get to that in a minute. The press conference just wrapped up a little while ago as he was introduced officially as the new owner of the Houston Rockets. Before we get to that, we had teased the fact that the new power rankings from ESPN and SportsCenter are out. I tweeted it out in case you're interested at Pac-Man Joel. And they do it from preseason rankings to now week six. Barry, you and I were talking about yesterday how they do the quarterly reports. And coaches normally coach on the quarterly system of, hey, first quarter, you know, try and go 3-1, 2-2. And they don't get too far ahead of themselves because we were talking about how, yes, the Chiefs are undefeated, but let's take a step back a year and know that the Vikings were 5-0 too, and then they didn't even make the playoffs. So you've got to run the whole race.
Yep.
Preseason power rankings. AFC obviously had the Patriots number one. Some of the things that stood out, Chiefs were number four. Texans number seven.
Chiefs were fourth in the AFC?
Yeah.
Okay.
Texans seven, one behind the Tennessee Titans at six, one in front of the Indianapolis Colts at eight.
Okay.
All right. You want to go right to the AFC now, or do you want to go to the NFC at that time too?
Let's do AFC, and then we'll do NFC.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So if you look at it now through week six, obviously the Chiefs are number one. Okay.
Yep.
Still having the Patriots at two in the top two.
Okay.
Denver, three. Pittsburgh, still at four.
Okay. Barely hanging on to that.
No question. And here's where it gets a little dicey. Five, the Jacksonville Jaguars. With that quarterback situation, their defense is damn good, but I mean, I don't think they're that good.
Hey, you know what? I got into it a little bit with somebody on Twitter yesterday that was talking about when I was mentioning the Texans defense. They were, the Jags, blah, blah, blah. Dude, the Jags are what, second or are they top five in scoring in the NFL?
Well, because they've got a lot of defensive touchdowns. And also, by the way, they got a guy that can tout the rock.
They've scored 100, almost 140 points, which puts them like fourth in the AFC.
Regardless of how bad they pass block because they hope someone knocks Bortles out of the game, they run block for Fournette. And did you see the video? Fournette last week against the Steelers, he got around the edge and he was in open field and he saw a D-back coming. He actually, with one hand, waved him on like, come on, bring it. And then just dropped his shoulder and drilled him.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, this dude's insane enough.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. But so I'm going to, one more thing for the Jags. Yep. And I'm not trying to toot their horn here.
Yes, you are, because you picked him to be a wild card.
They have the highest plus-minus differential in the AFC. Yes, better than KC. Yes, better than the Patriots. Yes, better than everyone. At plus 56, they lead the AFC in plus-minus.
Yes, it helps you beat the Steelers. I mean, you beat the Ravens 44-7 in London,
too. You got to put them up. It's the NFL. They scored 29 against the Texans, 44 against the Ravens, and 30 against the Steelers.
Barry, that's why you play to win the game. Hey,
I'm just saying, don't sleep on... I'm not saying Blake Bortles is a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong. But that offense is scored.
That's what you said during the break.
No, you shut up.
Okay. So, five Jaguars, six Raiders, which is kind of shocking because Carr is hopefully back for them this week.
And they're sub 500, but okay.
Cody will be very happy. Seven, the Buffalo Bills after a couple of surprise victories.
Yeah.
All right. And then eight, the Texans. So, the Texans only slid one spot.
See, and I would have had Buffalo higher. Thus far, wouldn't you? I mean, I would have had them higher than the Raiders.
You would think, right? And here's the other very inquisitive thing about this list, right? Nine Ravens up and down. But how about number 10? The Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
How the hell did that happen?
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't get that.
No, I mean... So where are the Jets on that list?
So
I don't know how the Jets are 3-2. I have no idea how they've done
basically
that.
Basically, they just have it through the top 10.
To the top 10?
Yeah.
I have no idea how the Jets are 3-2, but they're tied with the Patriots and the Bills in the AFC East. How they've managed to do that, I have no idea. It just doesn't seem like they should. But that's so. Yeah. What does that tell you, though? To me, the AFC is not playing as well as we thought they would this year.
Nope.
You know what I mean?
No. And again, no one would expect that the Kansas City Chiefs would have done all that with all the questions they had in the backfield.
Right.
So you got all that. Now, on the NFC perspective, in the preseason, it was Falcons 1, Seahawks 2, Packers 3, Cowboys 4, Cardinals 5, Giants 6.
Wow. Well, we know that's changing.
Bucks at 7, Eagles at 8, Panthers at 9, Vikings at 10. Those are all pretty good picks. But, yeah, the two that stood out to me was obviously the Cardinals. You lose Johnson, you lose a lot. And they just traded for Adrian Peterson today, so they know they need to try and revamp the running game. But the Giants at 6, I didn't think they were going to be great, but I didn't think they were going to be this bad.
I think I had them winning the division. No, I had Philly winning the division. But I didn't think the Giants would be. No one did. If you would come out and said, yeah, the Giants will be one of the three worst teams through 5 weeks, no one would have said that. Mm-mm. No way.
No way. All right, so now week 6 power rankings, NFC. 2 is the Falcons. So they just slip one spot.
Okay.
3 is the Eagles.
I already know where this is headed, but I like it. I like it,
4
actually.
Is the Panthers.
Okay.
Which are up and down, but good. Seahawks slide to 5. Cowboys at 6. Rams at 7. But 8 is the Redskins.
Really?
I'm not... Okay, and then 9 Lions, 10 Buccaneers. Wait, did I leave out one? 1 is the Packers.
Huh? So, what? Who?
Yeah, the team that went in and beat Dallas. So
what?
Green Bay goes from 3 to 1.
Never
Atlanta
heard
slides
of them.
From 1 to 2. But are the Redskins really worthy of number 8?
Yeah, I think you kind of have to, right?
Why, because their payroll?
I mean, no,
Kirk
but
Cousins,
I mean,
just, I just don't trust that guy.
Did you see somebody tweeted out, it was a Snapchat from some Packers fan with a bunch of Cowboys guys around him, and it's like a minute 13 left in the fourth quarter. It was before they scored.
Yeah.
And all the caption says, all these Cowboys fans are excited being up 31-28 with a minute 13 left in the fourth quarter. LMAO.
Yeah.
Like that's a pretty legendary.
Well, you remember
tweet.
when the Packers beat the Giants and then Odell Beckham kicked the hole in the wall of the outside the locker room last year?
Yeah.
And they did the Jordan meme in it. Then they did it. Well, someone sent, Travis Johnson sent me one where it was Aaron Rodgers looking through that hole going, hey, you guys still think you're dem boys? He goes, I got a minute and 13 left. So there were some pretty good ones that I've gotten in the last couple days. But, yeah, so those are your power rankings on both sides. Week 6, look, the Texans go from 7 to 8, not bad. And the losses, of their 3 losses, 2 of them are to the top 2 teams in the AFC. So, and honestly, all 3 losses are to teams in the top 5 because Jacksonville's at 5. So not a bad deal if you're the Texans. You and I talked about the schedule, though. Now without the big thing is going to be, look, we know Watson can play, but now it's how the defense can persevere
that is
with
it.
All the guys they've
I mean,
lost.
Last week at the behest or at the request, I should say, of a caller, we went through the schedule assuming the Texans beat the Chiefs because he wanted to know, if the Texans beat the Chiefs, then what does the rest of the year look like? And then you have to assume, well, they're better than we've all given them credit for if that happens. It didn't happen. And not only did it not happen, but you lost your two best defensive players, probably, or two of the 3 best defensive players. They're gone for the year now. So maybe we should revisit it again and see if that changes. Because based on what we looked at, we had them maybe 10-6, 11-5 if they were to beat the Chiefs.
Right. But even still, their schedule...
That ain't happening now.
From an offensive perspective, their schedule is advantageous. But it's just defensively, they're going to have a lot of guys step up, a lot of rookies and free agents step up to try and fill some of those voids.
Well, their schedule's not that hard. When I just call out names...
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, let me know when one of these scares you, yep. After the Chiefs, all right?
Yep.
Browns, Seahawks, Colts, Rams. None of them scare you.
Nope.
Cardinals, Ravens, Titans, 49ers.
Keep going.
Jags, Steelers, Colts.
Steelers, maybe.
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 If Big Ben, you know, gets his head out of his ass.
Like, normally
other
I would say
that,
Seattle, but their offense is so bad.
That might be the one because it's on the road and it's a rookie quarterback, but not playing like a rookie for the most part. But,
right.
Yeah, I think that the Steelers and Seahawks are their toughest tests. Rams too. Rams.
Oh, the Rams are
close, but again, not scary. Not Chiefs scary. Not Patriots scary.
No, absolutely agree.
All winnable games.
All right, so there's your power rankings in the NFL for week six or into week six, thanks to SportsCenter. We'll get to much more as we've got one in the books, two to go, plenty more of the big show. Don't go anywhere. Back with a whole lot more in just mere minutes. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.